welcome to a special episode of Music for Life, a program which explores the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host of this program. This is another one of our special episodes that I've titled Pre-Concert Talks. These episodes, only 1 hour instead of our usual 2 hour format, will air the week of a concert at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We are coming up on another exciting event here at Armstrong. This is the first movement of Symphony No. 40 in G minor by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. This is one of Mozart's most recognizable melodies, certainly his most famous symphony, and it will be featured on a program coming to Armstrong Auditorium the week that this episode of Music for Life airs. You're hearing it here performed by the Mozart Orchestra of New York under the baton of Gerard Schwartz. This is the ensemble and the conductor which will be performing at Armstrong Thursday, November 19th. This episode will serve as a pre-concert talk for that performance. In it, we will explore the Mozart Orchestra of New York, its illustrious conductor, and its program of the last three Mozart symphonies. As stated in our first pre-concert talk, where we discussed Joshua Bell's upcoming performance at Armstrong, it's quite common for concert halls to provide printed program notes for the concert goers. Occasionally, some will even provide a pre-concert lecture where patrons can enter the hall early and hear about that evening's program. So consider this episode one of those lectures, but one that can be consumed in an audio format such as this. For this particular pre-concert talk, or for these program notes, we're going to talk about the Mozart Orchestra of New York, its legendary conductor, and the wonderful program they are bringing to Armstrong. The Mozart Orchestra of New York is an ensemble of skilled musicians that perform a wide range of repertoire. It will be touring the United States during this 2015-2016 concert season. This 45-piece orchestra began as a collaborative project between conductor Gerard Schwartz and an ensemble known as the New York Chamber Soloists. The founder of this ensemble, Melvin Kaplan, had the idea to take the basis of the Chamber Soloists, 5 or 6 winds, 5 or 6 strings, and enlarge it, creating the larger Mozart Orchestra. Maestro Schwartz was tapped as conductor, given his history with the Chamber Soloists. He performed as their virtuoso trumpeter 30 years ago, involved in such performances as Bach's Brandenburg Concertos, which opened Philharmonic Hall, now Avery Fisher Hall, at Lincoln Center. I want to play you a recording of Gerard Schwartz on the trumpet. Maestro Schwartz is internationally renowned in the music world as a conductor, but he first had a stellar career as an instrumentalist. One music critic raved about his artistry, saying he possessed a complete mastery that transcends the usual limits of the instrument. Schwartz graduated from New York City's High School of Performing Arts and Juilliard School of Music, and in 1971 he won the Young Concert Artists International Auditions, an organization dedicated to promoting the careers of young musicians. By the following year, he was co-principal trumpet for the New York Philharmonic, one of the United States' finest orchestras, and he served there under the baton of Pierre Boulez, one of that organization's most influential conductors. Here is Gerard Schwartz as conductor and trumpet soloist with the New York Chamber Symphony, performing the third and final movement of Johann Hummel's Trumpet Concerto in E Major. Hummel was a composer of the classical era, a student of Mozart's, in fact, the only student that Mozart thought would become well-known and famous. And he's not that much of a household name as Mozart, in fact, but he is well-known in the trumpet world, particularly for this concerto. So here is Hummel's Trumpet Concerto, third movement, with trumpet soloist and conductor Gerard Schwartz. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for the program. We are discussing the Mozart Orchestra of New York, conductor Gerard Schwartz, and their program of the last three Mozart symphonies that they will perform at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday, November 19th. This program is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we'll have throughout the season at Armstrong. We were just talking about Gerard Schwartz, a decorated conductor who started off as a stunning trumpet virtuoso. That was a recording of him performing the third movement of Johann Hummel's Trumpet Concerto in E with the New York Chamber Symphony. Schwartz was co-principal trumpet for the New York Philharmonic under the baton of Pierre Boulez from 1972 to 1977. But now Maestro Schwartz is known today as a conductor himself, most notably for his post as music director for the Seattle Symphony from 1985 to 2011, with which he made over 100 recordings. Schwartz has made a prolific amount of recordings on a variety of labels with many other orchestras as well, the Czech Philharmonic, the Philadelphia Orchestra, the Tokyo Philharmonic Orchestra, the London Symphony Orchestra, and many others. He has received 14 Grammy nominations and received 3 Emmy nominations for his performance of Mozart's Requiem on Live from Lincoln Center, as well as performances with the Seattle Symphony on PBS. 2 of those Emmy nominations led to a win. He has also been awarded with other honors. In 1994, he was the first American to receive Musical America's prestigious title, Conductor of the Year. And in 2010, he received Seattle's City of Music Award for Outstanding Achievement. In the few short years since he's ended his tenure with the Seattle Symphony, Gerard Schwartz has been at the helm of a series of projects, one of which is music director for the Mozart Orchestra of New York, music director for North Carolina's Eastern Music Festival, as well as music director for the All-Star Orchestra, an ensemble of musicians from some of the world's greatest orchestras that are putting a television series together designed to promote a greater understanding and enjoyment of classical music. He also currently holds positions as the Conductor Laureate of the Seattle Symphony and Conductor Emeritus of Lincoln Center's Mostly Mozart Festival, for which he served as actual music director from 1982 to 2001. So he brings all that expertise and experience with Mozart's music to his post as music director for the Mozart Orchestra of New York. Again, a 45-member ensemble that will be performing at Armstrong Auditorium Thursday, November 19th. So let's talk about this repertoire now. The Mozart Orchestra of New York, under the baton of Gerard Schwartz, will be performing the last 3 of Mozart's 41 symphonies. Mozart wrote his last 3 symphonies in the summer of 1788 when he was 32 years old. Vienna's economy was in shambles, and so were Mozart's. The Holy Roman Empire was waging war on Turkey, so many of the wealthy Viennese upperclassmen were unable to attend concerts, those upon whom Mozart relied to finance his livelihood. Many of these wealthy men had either gone to war or hid away in their country estates to avoid questions. Remaining optimistic, though, Mozart had nonetheless planned concerts for the summer to feature these symphonies. For those unfamiliar with what a symphony is, it's a large work for orchestra that was basically invented by Franz Joseph Haydn, another great composer who was a couple dozen years older than Mozart. A symphony usually consists of 4 distinct movements. The first and last movements are usually lively and quick. The first movement was always in a particular format that presented 2 contrasting melodies or themes. This form was known as sonata allegro, and I explained this in a previous episode when we discussed the usage of melody. You can check the archives at kpcg.fm or on iTunes to hear more about that. The main thing I'd like you to remember, though, about this form is that the section where both contrasting themes are presented first is called the exposition. Because today, when I play samples of movements that are in this form, I'll use just the exposition. The last movements of symphonies were sometimes in this same sonata allegro format. More often, though, they were in rondo form, a format that had a main melody, a second contrasting melody, a return to the main melody, then another contrasting melody, and finally a return to the main melody. Using letters to denote each section of melody, that would be A, B, A, C, A. The second movements of symphonies were usually slow and lyrical. And the third movements were commonly in the form of a minuet, a 3-beat-per-bar dance popular at the time. Mozart's last 3 symphonies are a great look into some of the standard features of all symphonies, and yet they also have unique attributes that are important to note in order to fully appreciate them. Now, when we think of a symphony today, we may think of these large, long, major orchestral works like Beethoven, Brahms, Mahler. In Mozart's day, they were lighter and simpler. In fact, one musician of the day said of the symphony, "Because it will not be practiced like the sonata, but must be sight-read, it should contain no difficulties that cannot be met and performed clearly by several players simultaneously." But I don't think that could be said about these three orchestral works of Mozart's. Starting with the Symphony No. 39, there are two unique things about it worth mentioning. First, this is the only symphony Mozart wrote that doesn't include oboes. The featured wind instrument is the clarinet. You'll also hear a flute. The other unique characteristic is that the first movement of this piece contains a slow introduction. That's unusual because the first movement of nearly every symphony, nearly every string quartet, sonata, concerto, was quick and stated the main theme right away. A slow introduction not only was an unexpected tempo or speed for a first movement, it also greatly delays that moment when the main melody or the main theme of the symphony is presented to the ear. We're going to listen to the opening of Mozart's 39th Symphony. It takes over 2 minutes until the movement's quick tempo is readily perceptible. The main theme even starts quietly once that new tempo picks up, so it's really a seamless transition from the introduction into what we call the exposition. So this is the introduction and then the exposition of the first movement. These recordings are all of the Mozart Orchestra of New York with Maestro Schwartz conducting. It's a live concert recording from Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York.
Thank you.
So that was the introduction and exposition of the first movement of Mozart's Symphony No. 39. The second movement is marked Andante con moto. Andante, which literally means walking, implies a medium slow tempo. The phrase con moto means with motion, and so this slow movement is expected to feel both somewhat slower, but yet a calm forward momentum. You can hear that in the opening theme of this movement. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for this program. We are discussing the Mozart Orchestra of New York, conductor Gerard Schwartz, and their program of the last three Mozart symphonies that they will perform at Armstrong here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday, November 19th. This program is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we'll have throughout the season at Armstrong. So that was just the opening theme of the second movement of Mozart's Symphony No. 39, the Andante con moto movement, and you heard how that was slow, but had a lovely lilting momentum to it. Now the third movement of most symphonies at that time was a minuet. Not only does this imply a three-beat-per-bar dance, there was a predictable cookie-cutter format to how the dance would go, to how the music would play out. The piece was in three large sections. The first and third were basically identical, so there was a contrasting middle section. The identical first and third sections were called the minuet section. The middle section was known as the trio section, so this gives the movement an overarching ABA structure. These movements usually unfold on average over the course of about 3.5 to 5 minutes. So doing the math, you could expect the A section, the minuet, to be about 1 to 2 minutes, and the B section, the trio section, to be about 1 minute. The third movement of Mozart's 39th Symphony contains this cookie-cutter form for a minuet-trio-minuet movement. We will listen to the overarching A and B sections, or the minuet and trio sections of the piece. You'll hear when the B section, or the trio section, begins, it's marked by a prominent clarinet solo, and then I'll fade it out when it seamlessly transitions back into the A section, or when the main minuet section repeats. ¶¶ So that was the minuet and trio section of a minuet-trio-minuet form, or an ABA form, that was commonly used in the third movements of symphonies. Mozart's Symphony No. 39 uses that exact format for its third movement, the standard minuet movement. Now let's hear a little of the fourth and final movement. Mozart puts this movement in sonata allegro form, the same form as most first movements of symphonies. One defining feature of this form, again, is its presentation of two contrasting melodies presented in the opening section known as the exposition. I'm going to play the exposition of this movement, which is about a minute and a half. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life here on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for this program. We are discussing the Mozart Orchestra of New York, conductor Gerard Schwartz, and their program of the last three Mozart symphonies that they will perform at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday, November 19th. This episode is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we'll have throughout the season here at Armstrong. We have just finished discussing the first of Mozart's last three symphonies, Symphony No. 39. Mozart's most famous symphony is his Symphony No. 40. I played you a good deal of the first movement at the top of the program. We heard the final section of the first movement, what's called the recapitulation of Sonata Allegro form. It's the final statement of both those contrasting themes in the work. So let's move now to the second movement and hear a little of that. This lovely slow movement is in a lilting 6/8 time, meaning you'll hear a strong downbeat every 6/8 notes. Gerard Schwartz and the Mozart Orchestra of New York find a lovely tempo to preserve the integrity of this meter, I believe. Some recordings, I think, can go so slow that it feels more like a pattern of a strong beat in every 3/8 notes instead of every 6. I'm going to play you about the first minute of this lovely, graceful movement. Let's hear now the third movement of Mozart's 40th symphony. If you've been paying attention, you'll predict that this third movement, like nearly all other third movements of symphonies at this time, is a minuet movement. And if you've really been paying attention, you'll remember that these movements have a very predictable outline of a minuet section, a contrasting middle section termed the trio, and then a repeat of the minuet section to give it a ternary or ABA form. Let's hear the minuet section, which is somewhat brooding sounding in this symphony, and then the contrasting trio section, which is very sunny sounding. It's marked by very sunny string playing, echoed by cheerful sounding winds. And then I'll fade it out when that brooding minuet section repeats. The final movement of Mozart's 40th symphony is marked Allegro assai, or very lively, and here's a little of the last section of that symphony. Thank you. are listening to a special episode of Music for Life here on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for this program. We are discussing the Mozart Orchestra of New York, conductor Gerard Schwartz, and their program of the last three Mozart symphonies that they will perform at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday, November 19th. This episode is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we'll have throughout the season at Armstrong. Mozart's last symphony is his Symphony No. 41 in C, nicknamed Jupiter. Sir George Grove, the founder of the famous and comprehensive Grove's Dictionary of Music and Musicians, said of this symphony, quote, "It is the greatest orchestral work of the world which preceded the French Revolution," unquote. Here's the stately exposition of the first movement. That was the exposition to the first movement of Mozart's final symphony. The second movement is exquisitely beautiful and meditative, and yet goes into sections of great angst. Using a wide emotional palette, Mozart creates what I think is one of the most stunningly moving second movements of his output. So let's hear some of that. Again, this is Gerard Schwartz conducting the Mozart Orchestra of New York. That was the Mozart Orchestra of New York and conductor Gerard Schwartz performing the second movement of Mozart's Symphony No. 41. All these recordings of Mozart's last three symphonies that I'm playing today come from the same orchestra and conductor that will be performing here at Armstrong Auditorium Thursday, November 19th. You can find out more about this performance by visiting armstrongauditorium.org or following on Twitter at @ArmstrongAud, Armstrong A-U-D. So we are discussing this final grand symphony of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Going movement by movement, we come now to the third movement, but we've already heard the third movement in a previous episode of Music for Life. I used it to illustrate the triple meter feel of the minuet. And like the other symphonies, it has the same ternary or minuet trio minuet or ABA form. But let's finish this program with the final movement of Mozart's final symphony. Sir George Grove said about this movement, "It is for the finale that Mozart has reserved all the resources of his science and all the power which no one seems to have possessed to the same degree with himself of concealing that science and making it the vehicle for music as pleasing as it is learned. Nowhere has he achieved more." What makes the final movement such a powerful capstone to this masterpiece is how Mozart combines all the themes at the very end. If you recall from a previous episode, one of the hallmarks of the classical era was that melody was king. The statement of a clear, hummable melody within a simple texture was the norm. The complex textures of the preceding Baroque era, which usually involves several melodic passages happening concurrently but consonantly, was largely rejected in this classical era. However, in his final symphony, Mozart takes the two main themes of this final movement, along with three other bits of melodic material from the work, combines them all in an extended coda, which means the tail end of the piece. He sets up the coda like a Baroque fugue, basically a complicated round. The subject of the fugue is this four-note theme. But then he uses other bits of melodic material as the supporting material and counter subjects. So you will hear other melodic fragments. This fragment, and this fragment, and this fragment. So we will close the program today by hearing the end of the final movement of Mozart's final symphony. What I'll play is the section where the main themes that were presented in the exposition are presented again toward the end, what's called the recapitulation. About 2 minutes into this recapitulation, it sounds like he's about to finish. Everything gets very quiet until you hear a bold horn section state the main melody again, which serves as the subject for this short fugue at the end. And listen to the layering of all these melodic fragments for the last minute of the piece. You have been listening to Music for Life. From the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, I'm Ryan Malone. Thanks for joining me.